Welcome to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston, where we uplift your soul and mind and spirit by teaching of God's Word.
Hi, and welcome to the program. This is Pastor John Edmiston with Uplifting Moments. God bless you all. And we're going through my book, Biblical EQ, How to Become an Emotionally Intelligent Christian, How to Have Mastery in Your Life and Power and Peace in Your Professional Life and Personal Life. And, well, today we're going to be talking about how to have a better mind, how to feel better inside your own head, and how to get out of being stuck, and how to get out of sabotaging yourself all the time. And there's a spiritual aspect, and there's an aspect of your personal belief system going along with that. There's ways to get out of the funk. So if you're in a funk today, if you're stuck, if your beliefs are keeping you under, if you just feel like you're running around in circles getting nowhere, then listen to today's program, grab some pen and paper and take notes. Before that, let's pray. Father, I pray that today's program will liberate minds and hearts. I pray that you'll get right through to people today, that you'll change lives, that the Holy Spirit will be present, your word will be present, your power will be present. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, firstly, you need to understand that you have limiting beliefs, things that keep you from God, keep you from the scriptures, keep you from knowing yourself and other people. And those beliefs cluster in your brain and they get in little toxic clusters in your head and they poison you and give you stinking thinking. But God's come to give you a renewed mind. He's give you a better mind. Adam had a good mind, but it fell and it got twisted out of shape by the fall. Now God's putting our minds back in shape. He's renewing our mind. He's giving us the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. He's giving you a new and better living way of being. He's writing the laws of God on your heart. And so as the mind changes, you improve. You get a better attitude. You're more loving. You're more kind. You're less impatient. You're starting to see the world the right way up. And when you get saved, you start loving people. You start reading the Bible. And you start getting rid of some of the nastiness in your heart and you start repenting. But there's still stuff that keeps us stuck. And some of that are self-limiting beliefs and self-limiting promises we have. And the Bible tells us not to make oaths, vows, or pledges. Now, Jesus says that in the Sermon on the Mount. James says it really strong. He says, above all, do not make vows. Well, what's wrong with vows? What's wrong with pledges? They program us in a certain way. I'll tell you an example from my own life. When I was young, I went through a lot of illness, and I'm not going into all the details. I was a very sick child, and I had to overcome a certain level of disability. And so I had to become very determined, and one day I heard about Winston Churchill's speech, Never, Never Give In, his famous speech at Rugby, and I decided, well, I would never, never give in. And that became an internal vow inside of me. And so I never gave in and I became stiff-necked and I became stubborn and I became a difficult person to get along with. And I became quite unteachable because I never gave in because I had to overcome all these things. Never giving in helped me get through my schoolwork, helped me get through my exams, helped me to become a good chess player and other things because I was super duper determined. But never giving in, once I was an adult, once I'd got through my science degree and a few other things, it was a useless approach to life. It was making me a very difficult human being to relate to. And sometimes I would get in relationships or in situations which I should have cut my way out of and said, nope, I'm not having any more of that. But I was trapped myself. I got into traps because I would never, ever give in. And so we have these vows that we make. Sometimes they might be out loud vows. We might make the vow to a priest, or you might make a vow to a relative, or you might write one on a bit of paper. In some cases, people write their vows in blood and things like that. And that's very strange. And you have to renounce those vows because they keep you stuck. Let's give an example of someone who might have done that. Maybe someone grew up in a home that was very dysfunctional and they say, oh, I will never get married. And they say that to themselves, I never want to go through this. I don't want to have a family. I want to never get married. And so they make that as a small child. They might be 8 or 10 years old when they say that to themselves, but they say that in a very determined way. They make a vow. Then they forget about their vow. Many years later, they see someone they like and they fall in love, but they can't get married. They can't commit. They can't accept a proposal. They can't make a proposal. They don't know why. Why I like this guy or I like this girl or however it is, and they can't get it. Because when they're 8 or 10 years old, they made a vow to themselves that they would never get married. And so that proved an obstacle to them. And there's this big inner resistance. They can't understand. Am I afraid of commitment? Is this going on in my life? No, they had a painful experience that went right down deep into them, into their conscious, into their subconscious, into their spirit. And deep down, they made a vow to themselves. And they're stuck. They're stuck because they made this promise, this vow, oath, vow, or pledge, and it wasn't necessarily to God. It was just to themselves. I will never be like that, and so I'll never get married. I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want my parents through what my parents went through. Understandable at the time, but it doesn't work later on in life. And sometimes these vows can overtake us in ways where we've severely limited our potential. So I had a friend who was a very, very brilliant computer scientist. He's retired now. And anyway, he went to the same school that I went through, and he was brilliant. He was a little bit behind. I think I was like 2 years ahead of him. We went through the same school, and he went, and in his first year of university, he got distracted and he failed. Now, he should have blitzed his way through the first year of university. He's brilliant. But things happened in his life, and then he got very disappointed with life. And so he chose a boring job with the railroad. He controlled the trains for the railroad, which train went here, which went there. The coal train would go here, the passenger train. He was a very exact person, very exact mind. He was very good at that. So he was very good at controlling the trains. And as the trains got computerized, he learned computers. And he became a brilliant computer person for the railroad, and he programmed their computers. And later on, he got his own computer repair business and so on. But he never went back to university. He never really did the programming side of things. It was always the hardware repair side of things. And he limited himself. He should have been the Einstein of the computer world. He should have been Steve Jobs. He should have been Bill Gates. Instead, because he failed at the first year of university, he said, "I will never study again. I'm not going to put myself through that kind of humiliation." And so because of that painful experience, he limited his own ability to do things. And so when you're feeling stuck in life, when you're feeling like you're getting nowhere, you have to ask God to show you the bit of your mind that needs to be renewed and the falsehood you may have believed that's holding you prisoner. We're held prisoner by one or more falsehoods, vows, oaths, pledges, or beliefs that's keeping us in a mental prison and says, "No, I can't do that." Now, God may have called you into the ministry, but you're afraid because you think, "Well, that's weird. That's abnormal. I can't do that. I can't be in the ministry. I've got to be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a plumber, or whatever you've got to be." You can't see yourself going out and being a pastor, a missionary, or a Bible teacher. And your vision of yourself is limited, and you're being held back, and you feel dissatisfied in whatever you're doing right now as a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, or a plumber, or whatever. You're not satisfied. You're stuck because God's called you, but your concept of yourself is too small to see yourself working for God. And you're afraid of going to Bible college or this or that or the other. So you need to overcome your fears. You need to overcome your hesitancies. You need to overcome your oaths, vows, or pledges. Now, in some cases, you may have made oaths, vows, or pledges to some organization, such as the Freemasons or a religious sect or something like that that's not Christian. And you made an oath, vow, or pledge, and you might have signed it in blood, you might have done this or done that, and that is really holding you back. You must renounce those. Write on a piece of paper the vow that you made to yourself, to God, or to the secret society, or to the religion, and renounce that vow. Say, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I renounce my oath, vow, or pledge. I'm getting rid of it. It's holding me back. It may even be a sinful vow." Jesus says, "Do not make oaths, vows, or pledges, not by heaven, not by earth, not by the altar or the gold on the altar." Don't make them and get out of them because they are spiritual traps. They will keep you in a spiritual prison. So you have to keep away from all that junk. Don't let that junk overtake your life. And realize there's inner vows you can make. There's outward vows you can make. And so we need to not let that happen. One of the things you need to understand about your mind is that it's not up and down. It's not analog. It's digital. Your mind is kind of digital. It stores things on and off states, complete or incomplete, satisfied or not satisfied. And a lot of the things are like that. And so until that vow is completed, it's incomplete and it keeps nagging you in your subconscious. I remind you of your vow. And your unconscious is doing that because it has no sense of time whatsoever. And so you have to say to your unconscious, I'm switching off that vow. It's complete. It's had its time. That promise has had its time in my life. That promise I made to myself or to the religion or to the secret society or whatever is over. It's done with. It's finished. So when you write it on a piece of paper and you burn that piece of paper, you're telling your unconscious that that vow is completed. It's had its time of service. If you go back into the Old Testament, the Nazirite vow was from 30 days or something like that, or until a certain period of time, 30, 60 or 90 days, and then it was completed and you went and you gave this thing to the priest and the vow was over and done with. So because your brain has to have things switched off, you have to have some little ceremony that switches it off for you. And we all think of the New Year's Eve, that we switch off 1 year and we go to the next year. It's like we tell our brain, that year's done and gone. I've got a new chance in the new year, and we welcome in the new year and we put the old year behind us. Well, you have to put the old vow, oath, pledge, promise, or thing that's keeping you stuck, the old belief system, the old thing that you've told yourself about, you've got to put it way behind you. Put your old life behind you. Put your old stinking thinking behind you. Put your old promises that you made to yourself that are no longer useful, that are holding you in bondage. All those promises that have should, must, ought, or never, in the thing where you say, I always must be like this, I never must be like that. All that kind of chatter in your head, write it down on a piece of paper. Say, I renounce this feeling I have. I renounce these thoughts I have. I renounce this vow that I've made to myself. Because that is constructing a mental, spiritual, and soul prison for you that's keeping you stuck. And it can keep you stuck for a very, very long time, just as it did for my friend, the computer programmer, who should have been brilliant, but because he said, I'll never fail again, I'll never study again, I'll never go through that again, he limited his whole life. So you need to ask God to reveal to you the things that you're going to keep, that are keeping you stuck. Say, dear God, I know I'm stuck. I don't know why I'm stuck. Please show me the wrong thing that I'm thinking. Show me the wrong thing that I'm believing. Show me the thing that I have to give up in my mental life or my emotional life. God will show you that. When you do, write it down, get rid of it, repent of it, and say, it's over. I'm no longer that person. I'm no longer thinking that thing ever again. So this is John Edmiston signing off. My book, Biblical EQ, biblicaleq.com. And that's it for Uplifting Moments this week. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston. Please visit his website, eternityradio.org, where you can send in your prayer requests and support this worldwide Bible teaching radio ministry. Remember, eternityradio.org.